that. So the only one we're missing is ISP, correct?
ISP and Registrar.
And Registrar, right.
Okay. Excuse me, this is the conference coordinator. Today's call is being recorded. If anyone has objections, you may disconnect.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Probably worth reading the names of somebody that has the list in front of them. Could be the name.
I'll do that, Avery. We have on the call Avery Doria, Chuck Gomes, William Drake from NCUC, Steve Metallitz from IPC, Steve Del Bianco from Business Constituency, and of course, Chuck is from the Registry constituency. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, David Geezer, and Stacey Burnett, I believe, and myself, Glenda Saint-Gerie.
Okay, thank you. And welcome to the meeting. We're going to have to, by the way, cut it at an hour because of other meetings coming up behind it. Okay, I was asked a question in terms of why we were trying to basically gather numerical values for every constituency in the chart. I think the first part is while the model was started by the registries and a couple of people have come through to the registry saying, yes, we agree with your prioritization. Various other constituencies have come through saying, no, we don't agree. We're fine with using the model, but we don't agree with starting out with this set of priorities. Let me avoid the word I'm tripping over. So so therefore, we're looking at this point to gather what really is the cumulative priority among all the constituencies so that we have a true picture of which ones are the most important when you take all the constituencies and others' points of view into account. The reason for translating it to a numerical, and this was, I went back to the original work that had been done by the registry constituency in their report where they had used a 5-point scale and basically sort of said, when you have something that's non-numerical, how do you create a comparison across the line without turning it into numbers? And so that was the reason for saying let's use the registry's original 5-point scale. I put that suggestion out on the council list, and several council members spoke in favor of it. No council members spoke against it, and so we stayed with the model. But we're now trying to collect everybody's point view on all of the studies. And then at that point, and if you look at the XLS chart I put, the Excel chart, I not only put the columns for both the priority, and then I used a 3-point scale for viability And one was, yes, we think it is a 1, no, we think it's not, is a -1, and either we don't know or we have no opinion is a 0, and just to sort of get an estimation of how people view this across the board. And also just for a little statistical thing, I put in the mins, the max, and the standard deviation on these things, just so we see, how much difference there is in the answers. So that's the why.
Aubrey Kim has joined us.
Hi, Kim. So that was the way I did it, and basically including the 0 in the scale was to take account of those constituencies that don't believe a particular study or perhaps any of the particular studies should be done. And so to basically get a complete picture of where we are and what the ranking is and what the genuine sort across the constituencies is, that this is what was suggested within the council and accepted. Does that answer the question?
This is Steve. I think I understand why. Our constituency has done what you've asked. We've responded to the registry constituency proposal. We said we accept the model. We indicated where we had differences on prioritization. I think that's reflected in the chart, and we can easily turn that into numbers if that's desired. I'm still not clear why that's so important, but I think it certainly is important to get the other constituencies that haven't responded to the registry constituency model to do so, and either say they disagree with the model or that they agree with the model but they have a different priority. So that, I think that should be our
key. Yeah, and I think we by and large have buy-in from the council on the model, and I think that all the constituencies have accepted that they need to put in values, including the NCAs are trying to come up with what would be a cumulative value from the three NCAs. I know that we've started the work. We haven't finished it. And I know the registrars did. I need to include it in the chart. I know NCUC, I believe, is still working on it. I'm not sure. I think for both business constituency and the IPC, all you'd really need to do, you've already done all the work. You just need to basically give me the numbers, and it allows you to broaden it out a little bit more if you want to, because when you did it, you sort of did it on a three-point chart. You may have some things that are high, medium, low. So you may want to expand out your value some more, but you don't need to.
Okay. Thanks. Do we have an agenda for this call?
No. But basically, the agenda was basically twofold. One was, had we finished all of these, it would have been to go on and review, and that was the original plan. Since we haven't finished it, it was basically to talk about what needed to be done. And then the other thing on the call is we had some folks from the, I'm losing my words, I'm about to misname the group again.
Compliance.
Compliance, thank you. I keep thinking of enforcement, and I know that's wrong. So from compliance group here, to sort of talk about with us some of the differentiation between those issues that were mentioned in the studies that were compliance issues and those that weren't. Because we had had various questions on that during the last call, and Liz made arrangements to have them join us on this call. So we can't do the first thing that was done, which was, okay, we've all put in our values, now look at it. Now, how do we proceed? And so instead of that, basically, I just want to leave a little time just to make sure everybody understands the current process and basically is ready to get numbers in. And then I'll fill them in the chart. I will leave it to somebody else to turn it into Wiki if we want to, because I haven't just had a lot of time to do that. But I'll certainly put everybody's numbers in the chart and make sure the values come out right. You know, in terms of that it's summed correctly, that it's standard deviated correctly, et cetera. So then, are there any questions on sort of completing this evaluation part or comments?
I have a kind of a silly question. Is there the possibility to, in order to not be holding things up, give you values but then amend it later if I find out within a couple of days that people have changed their minds?
I would think that would probably be true for anyone if, you know, and it's an Excel spreadsheet, so if someone changes their value, it changes things. But I would think as people are discussing at any point, the constituency could change its viewpoint. Does anyone object to that notion? After discussion, someone could say, hey, you know, we've been convinced we'll raise it, you know, or not.
I think we just need
lower
to have them firm before our next call.
Okay.
Is that right?
I think that'd be good to have values, the firmer the better. But as I say, if we have conversations during the next call where somebody is convinced of something, goes back to their constituencies and says, hey, you know, we put that as a really low, but now that I really understand why somebody else put it as higher, we might want to reconsider. I don't know that it'll happen, but it could happen.
Aubrey, to facilitate the process, I think you can, for now, then go ahead and put in for NCUC zeros across the board. That seems to be the view I'm getting from people. I've written to them suggesting that we might consider taking seriously a few of these studies that are fairly amenable, one would think, to the kinds of concerns non-commercial people have expressed, but I haven't gotten any positive feedback on that suggestion. And since I'm here to represent what the collectivity seems to think, right now that seems to be where we are. And so you can put zeros in for us to move it along, and if I'm able to convince anybody otherwise, I'll come back to you as soon as possible.
Okay, and I'm willing to change the values up through the next meeting as people tell me.
Fine.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Wait,
anything else?
A quick question.
On the chart. Excuse me, I didn't hear.
Aubrey, it's Steve Del Bianco. Question on the
chart. Oh, sure. Steve Del Bianco, sure.
Aubrey, the wiki has the neatly formatted table, and the Excel sheet that's attached just above the table. Is that the one you want us to update?
Yes, the Excel sheet just above the table is the numeric equivalent.
And it is not in the same order.
Right. No, it's in numerical order, and then once the values are in there, I'll do a sort on it.
Right, and but you're sure that they correspond to each other. I didn't update it because I actually didn't think they were in sync. So
I believe I got all the studies in, and I certainly hope that the registries make sure that I put the right number next to the right study number, but I believe I did it right.
All right.
I never swear to being right.
Would it be helpful for me to take the wiki posted charts just down for now?
Or to just move them because the sort may come out the same.
The Excel sheet gets updated. Do you translate the column into the wiki?
Well, we haven't yet, but we will.
Right.
Aubrey, I had submitted the numbers for the registry.
That's right, so I didn't have to worry about you getting them right. About me getting them right. Yeah, no, but I do believe I have all the studies included. And such. Now, another question I wanted to ask about this, and that has to do with we at the last meeting we said, you know, and we would ask ALAC and we would ask GAC. Now, in terms of asking GAC, we can be fairly certain that we won't get an answer other than we said what we had to say in our principles. Now, we have certain studies that are translated from the GAC principles. Do we just leave them out of the valuation, or do we assume that, hey, you know, these studies are the GAC principle studies that they keep telling the board and us must occur, and therefore give them the value of 5 that we assume they would give them? And I'm asking this as a question because I really don't know what the right thing to do is. In one respect, I think, yeah, we all know that the GAC would value at least those at a 5. Because they keep saying our principles say it all. But then again, to attach a value to something when someone hasn't actually spoken up may not be appropriate. So I just wanted to ask other people to think about what we should do in terms of handling what we know or assume to be the GAC position.
Steve Del Bianco, I'll get in the queue for that.
Okay. Anyone else?
Bill?
Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Whether or not we add columns for the GAC for purposes of scoring, because that's what you just proposed.
Yes, yeah, that's what I just proposed.
Exactly.
Or asked about, rather.
Right, whether we put a column in or not to score them, they need to know at every turn that council has given full attention to everything they've asked for. We can't emphasize that enough because that's what enhanced cooperation. And those of you who are in India know what I'm talking about, so...
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep emphasizing that. And so that's my first point. The second point would be that if we were to put a column in there, you don't have to presume that only the body called the GAC would be able to comment on how they would prioritize. It may be that certain members of the GAC, I know that Bertrand de la Chapelle would be anxious to reply. I spent hours with Everton Lucero of Brazil, who is anxious to weigh in and have people in Brazil give us their views. I know they can't join all these calls and they're not as active as we want them to be, but if we hand them a table and clear instructions, there's a chance we could get at least France, Brazil, perhaps U.S. and Canada to weigh in, and I would hope that we could invite a few more, because government participation doesn't mean always through the GAC. It could be just interested governments that care enough to participate.
Can we do that?
Thank you. Bill?
I'm perplexed by that suggestion. Can we do that? I mean, isn't this supposed to be representing what the GAC as a whole has a view here?
Well, what we're discovering, Bill, is that that it's almost impossible for the GAC to act as a whole in unless you give them about a year. And so, because of the way governments operate, I didn't mean that as a criticism, okay?
Sure.
And so, because it is important to have some input from the government part of the world, it may be, and we'll be working on this when we work on the GNSO improvements, it may be that the best we can do, and it would probably still be very useful, to get what governments that are willing to participate to at least communicate their individual view. And by the way, in some of those cases, they can't represent their government either. So it's kind of an awkward situation, but it would probably be useful to at least have input from any people from governments that we can get. Does that make sense?
I understand the thinking, but I wonder how it plays out within the GAC politically if some parties go forward without there being a group movement.
I guess that's their problem.
It is their problem. That's right.
But I think it's also ours. I think we have to be careful in terms of including individual governments, because as ICANN, we really still have the GAC to consider. And, I mean, we've taken comments and everything, and this is in the GNSO's sort of deliberations. But, I mean, it's an interesting point, but I think we do have to be careful in what we do.
Yeah.
Bill, was that the comment you wanted to make, or did you get to make your comment? Right.
I would be concerned about the perception of sort of cherry-picking and dividing the GAC. But leaving that aside, my view would be I wouldn't assign numbers absent they're actually formally responding. I think at the end of the day, you know, they've got to step up, right? I mean, Everton's constantly saying they need more influence, they need more power, but they can't get their act together. So, I mean, if you want more influence and more power, you have to participate, and you have to step up when you're asked for something. And so I wouldn't assign numbers without them having made an affirmative statement to that effect. I'd rather not have the response from them.
Well, except that in this case, I think the GAC has already responded. So I think Aubrey's conclusion that that you could probably assign five to any of them that had a GAC study with them, and you'd probably be right on target.
Bill is part of the background.
I would just clarify that with them first before I did it. That's all.
Right. Bill, as part of the background, basically every time we've gone to ask the GAC for further input, they basically responded, listen, it's all in the principle.
Right, I understand. I'm just saying,
so,
can I get into queue, Aubrey?
Yeah, please. Tim.
Oh, okay.
That was Tim that was asking to get in the queue? Or Bill, were you finished?
I'm done.
Yeah. Was it Tim? It was Tim, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure I feel comfortable about assigning them fives either. I mean, I understand what's occurred, but they really have chosen not to really get involved in this process. And I think, you know, the GAC principles, they kind of stand on their own in a lot of ways. So really isn't all this just the a rating of a prioritizing of the GAC's principles or recommendations by the GNSO. So there's some idea of how the GNSO views those principles, but I don't think we need to infer anything from the GAC. I mean, I think that stuff stands on its own, and the board knows how to deal with it, but to imply that they somehow participated in all of this would be a misnomer, in my opinion.
Okay, thank you.
First of all,
anyone else want to be in the queue?
Chuck,
yeah. And anyone else? I just want to collect the queue before you start off. Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
If we don't include them in what we're doing here, that's going to be perceived as ignoring them. And I think
that's not what I said, Chuck.
No, I didn't say that's what you said, Tim. What I'm saying is that they will interpret it that way if we don't include them in by putting a number associated with that. I'm perfectly comfortable with going back to whoever submitted to Giannis and Suzanne and probably Bertrand, because he's vice chair, and the other vice chairs, and asking them, would it be appropriate to put a a number 5 or a number 4 on the studies for the GAC that involve GAC studies. That's a reasonable thing to do.
I don't agree. I don't see the point in it. I mean, everybody gets it.
Well,
the board especially gets it. All we really need to be demonstrating is where is the GNSO at?
Okay, we disagree.
Okay. I mean, I could certainly, and it does, and let me know if anyone objects, I could certainly make sure that Giannis knows that we're going through this exercise and that they do have a chance to rate these things. I assume no one would object to my prodding Giannis to get them to do something.
I think that's appropriate.
What would we put for them on the rest of the studies? If they decide not to...
Well, no, I think I'd look for his answer and sort of say, we've got these studies, you know, here's a spreadsheet, I invite you guys to fill in values. If they fill in values, we've got them. If they don't fill in values, we don't. And then if they leave the others blank, they leave the others blank. And does that make sense?
Aubrey, can I get in the queue? This is Steve.
Certainly.
Are those zeros or...
Steve,
my only suggestion was if you're going to do that, I would wait till all the constituencies have filled in their values.
Before asking them?
Why is that, Steve?
Because otherwise they're going to say, well, you're asking us to do this, you're not even doing it.
My concern there, Steve, is that it's going to take them a while to turn it
they're
around.
They're not going
to turn it around. So.
They're not going to. We know they're probably not going to respond on the timetable that we would want to set. And, you know, all I'm saying is it doesn't look too good when you say, we've asked everybody to do this. Some of our people haven't done it yet, but we'd like you to do it, too.
Well,
I
can actually say we're in the process of doing it, and I want to make sure that you guys have the chance. It's you know, I don't have to tell, you know, put it in the, you know, we've been working on it 2 weeks, and we didn't finish yet. So I don't have to put it in quite the... Only half of us have gotten it done, but I mean, we have at the moment. We have. It sounds like we have all but one. We just have to get them transcribed.
This is Tim. It just gets confusing because I'm not sure what the weighting, how we intend to use it, or what it's going to mean if we have, unless everybody responds, and there's some weight assigned to everything. Then what? How does it mean anything? And so if we just put 5s in for the GAC on the stuff that has GAC stuff included in it, and we leave it blank, I mean, what's a blank?
A blank is a zero. A blank counts numerically as a zero.
So that's okay with others who might have a different feeling about the ones that get zeros from the GAC by default, you know? I mean,
so, yeah, I think that's why it makes sense to ask them to fill it in.
And then if they don't,
that's their choice.
Aubrey, this is Steve again.
Yes, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I think Tim was raising a very good question, which is kind of what I meant to ask at the outset, but I probably didn't communicate it, which is, once this is filled in, what are we going to do with it? Are we just averaging?
Basically, yeah.
Everybody...
We're basically averaging and then sorting it on that average, but also the other marks of the min, max, and standard deviation will be there to see whether it's, you know, got there through some extreme. And then that basically shows us which are the top interest, the medium interest, and the lowest interest across the whole group.
Chuck wants to see.
Yes, Chuck.
Whether you average or not, or just total it, all I see this as is a tool to help us define some priorities if we decide to go through to recommend some cost estimates for certain studies. So I think it's up to us to decide how we use any numbers that are created.
Yeah.
And I would just suggest that this is kind of, for anybody, and it's probably the strange thing for me to say, but anybody who does have priorities for studies, when this is done, I would be sure and look at this with the GAC rating or without the GAC rating to make sure that you're in agreement with it reflecting reality. But just a thought.
Right. I mean, given that it's an Excel table, we can do various manipulations on the data once we have it. So anyhow, as I understand it, we basically have 5 out of 6 at the moment. We just need to translate two of them that were done before numbers into numbers, and as opposed to my doing it on a 5-3-1 scale, you know, it'd be better if you guys did it on a whatever number works for you scale.
Yeah,
because my assumption would be high is 5, medium is 3, and low is 1, but you know, you may have some feelings for 2s and 4s.
And the BC and the IPC need to do that little exercise to
right.
Convert it from top.
And then once they send the numbers in, I'll put them in the table, and you know, I'll merge all the tables, and then we'll have, you know, the current sort.
Aubrey,
okay.
Steve. Yes, Steve. I wanted to sort of close the loop. My thinking on the GAC is 99% of the benefit of the GAC is to let them know we've considered everything they've asked for carefully, and that we continue to invite them or their constituent governments to be involved. If they give us numbers, it's almost troubling. They'll be late. They won't be in the right form. They'll complain that we didn't wait them, even after we made them provide them. There's the trouble of how are they going to understand all this. So I honestly don't think we have to ask them as much as make sure that they're informed. And because there will be new working groups. For instance, when staff comes back, if we proceed with any costing of these scouting and costing of studies, when that information comes back,
mm-hmm.
Council could end up forming yet another who is working group to decide which of the studies to pursue given the parameters and costs that come back from the consultant. And we would invite governments and or the GAC to participate in that working group, because working groups are open, right, to people like that.
Oh, yeah.
So all I'm really looking for is the keep them in the loop aspect, and I don't think we want to put too much emphasis on expecting or requesting them to fill in numbers in a table.
Okay. Well, any note that I send, such as before, I'll pass a copy through the council and the two of you. You know, we've been using this sort of expanded list here to make sure that I'm not going beyond what anyone's comfortable with. Okay, so sorry I had to open that can of worms, but I felt it needed to be sort of exercised or exorcised. The next thing I wanted to look at was the compliance issues and how studies related to compliance, and get some view from the staff on that, and perhaps have some conversation on that in the last 25 minutes or however long that takes.
So Aubrey, if I could just maybe lead off and say,
please,
that there were several studies that the different constituencies identified as compliance related. I think if I could just quickly run through them. There was a discussion we had last week about Area 6, Studies 3 and 20, and that's the one that I had mentioned to you all that I also had an offline conversation with David and Stacy about, and they're on the call today. You know, they had a different understanding and interpretation of 3773 than obviously some of the participants on this call do. I've provided that on the list of studies that, you know, arguably might be compliance-related, and we could certainly discuss that. There was also Area 6, the Steve McCallett's comment, which has sort of A and B portions to it, that was identified as compliance-related. And then Area 7, number 8, which was submitted by an individual by the name of Chris Paul. So those I provided just in a list to Stacy and David, so they would have a similar understanding about that we do about what which studies so far various constituencies have identified as compliance. So maybe we could start with that as a discussion, and you know, first just the facts, like am I missing any studies that others view as compliance that I should sort of add to our possible compliance list for discussion with Stacy and David?
Okay.
Everyone's sort of on the page with the same page with that list, and then you know, we can discuss as you like.
Okay. Might as well start with which one?
Well, particularly, I guess, Steve and Steve, since we talked about this.
Since they have the comments, right, yeah.
I think that's the right list of potential compliance-related studies. If there are any that are missing there, we should capture those.
So it'd probably be good to start with the response to Steve's points, to Steve and Steve's points.
Ask that again, please.
This is Steve Metalich. Can I get in the queue?
Please.
Yeah, I was just going to say that if we had known that this was going to be a topic of this call, at least if I had known, I would have been a little better prepared than I am to respond.
What we had talked about on the last call,
me,
we
Aubrey,
had talked
can
about.
Can I finish, Aubrey?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. So I don't have anything to add, any items to add to this, but there may be others that are compliance related.
Okay. If I may add, the comment I was going to make is at the last call, Liz did mention that she was going to try and invite him to our next call. I didn't know until we got to the call that had actually happened, but it was announced at the last call that we were going to try and do that. So,
by the way, I don't think this needs to be a one-shot opportunity. I think it's going to help Stacy and David to hear a little bit about the context of our discussions. And so let's just, you know, assuming schedules work for the next call, you know, I'll certainly ask them to participate, and, you know, we can all be, you know, have a further discussion. But I wanted them to begin listening in at least and understanding some of the context substantively in the conversation and discussion. So I'm sorry if I didn't make it clear enough to everyone about the agenda for today, but I think we should just do this, you know, plan on doing this again with everyone's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm wondering whether there's any possibility of them sort of giving their view on these things that they've read through, and you said that they have a different perspective, if they'd be willing to just sort of talk through that with the rest of us now, and then maybe that will help the conversation.
Sure. This is Dave Giza. I'm the new Senior Director for Contractual Compliance, and as some of you know, I've been with ICANN now for about 6 weeks. Steve Metalich and I had the opportunity to meet last week when I was visiting with registrars and registries in Washington, D.C. And Stacy and I have had an opportunity to talk to Liz, particularly about Area 6, Studies Number 3 and 20. And we'll share with you some of our preliminary comments. But much like Steve, we weren't really fully prepared today to go into greater detail, but I think we can give you some preliminary observations around that particular suggested study, and that may spur some dialogue.
Thank you.
And so as Stacy, Liz, and I discussed this particular study, we felt that compliance could clearly play a role in either undertaking the study or in cooperation with other service areas inside of ICANN. So, for example, we view the study as follows. It would be a study of proxy registrar cooperation with law enforcement as opposed to strict compliance with law enforcement and dispute resolution requests to really determine whether in section 3.7.7.3 of the RAA effectively meet the needs of law enforcement. And I think that's an important distinction because Steve Metalich and I had an opportunity to chat briefly last week around the specific language of section 3.7.7.3, and I think Steve and I and Stacy need to have some further dialogue so that we're actually clear what that language says and what the compliance obligations are of the registrars under that document. But putting that aside for a moment, we do believe that contractual compliance could take a leadership position or role around a study that investigates registrar cooperation with law enforcement and dispute resolution requests, and we're very open to input and direction from the GNSO Council on how that particular activity would be undertaken here by staff.
Okay, thanks. Does anyone wish to be in a queue? No? Okay. Any other comments at this point?
Steve Del Bianco.
Okay, Steve.
I would ask Dave to just clarify. Have you and your contractual compliance group reviewed those three groups of compliance-oriented studies that Liz mentioned? And if so, would you have any questions for those of us who actually drafted and submitted those studies a couple of months ago?
No, that's a great question. We actually have reviewed two drafts of the white paper that Liz was preparing. And inside of that white paper, in particular, we had talked a bit about a study around the extent to which proxy and privacy services are being used by legal persons for commercial purposes versus, let's say, natural persons who use those services without a commercial intent or purpose. We haven't drawn any firm conclusions yet on what our role would be in that study, but I will tell you that we have already undertaken and laid the foundation to conduct a registrar privacy and proxy registration services study. And I do want to be clear here that the purpose of that study is to assess the extent to which registrants are using privacy and proxy registration services. And so we've begun to put together the plan to conduct that survey. We're most likely not going to be querying registrars for the data to complete that survey. We'll be obtaining that data through internal ICANN staff assistance, and we think at the end of the day what that will do is it will give us a better picture of the number of registrars and the number of registrants, quite frankly, that are using privacy and proxy registration services, kind of a pure statistical analysis on that topic. And then from there, we believe we can drop down and perhaps go deeper and go wider into privacy and proxy registration services, again, with input and direction from the council and from other constituencies that contractual compliance supports. So, we're just beginning our work right now on this very first phase of a privacy and proxy registration study.
So let me just bridge, if I could, Aubrey, just explain one thing that Dave said that's probably confusing everybody on the call. As you know, the compliance group has announced this intent to look at proxy and privacy services, and over the last few weeks I've been sharing with them the list of the study proposals that are proxy and privacy related, so that I could understand better what the gist of their study was going to be and where there might be overlaps or opportunity to use the underlying data from their study on any of the other study areas that have been proposed by the GNSS Council. So the document that David is referring to is simply communication around, well, these are the studies that we're looking at, this is the study that they're looking at. David, the studies that the GNSS Council has identified as compliance-related is a different list, and it's the list that I sent you an email last week, and those are the studies that I rattled off the names of. It's not the one that you're looking at. It's Area 6. There's one that Steve Metallis offered, and then Area 7, number 8. So I think that David and Stacy still need to take a closer look at those two studies to provide comments, because I don't think they were that I prepared them adequately to comment on those two studies. Mostly I wanted to just make sure we were talking about the same list of compliance-related studies so that they can go back on and look at these others just as they did on study areas 6, 3, and 20. So we will do that, and if there are any other studies that the GNSS Council thinks are compliance-related, other than Area 6, the Steve Metallis suggestion, and Area 7, number 8, as well as Area 6, 3, and 20, you should let me know so that I can be sure that Stacy and David take a look at those, too.
And can I follow up on that?
Sure.
This is Steve Metallis. Could I get in the queue, please?
Okay, I've got Chuck. I've got Steve Metallis. Anyone else?
Steve Del Bianco.
Okay, Steve. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Chuck.
It'd be very helpful in our next call, whenever that's going to be, if the compliance staff could at least venture an opinion in terms of whether the registry opinion that certain studies, and we identified them, were compliance issues, and therefore we don't need studies. It'd be very nice to know whether you agree with that or disagree with that. I'm not looking for a detailed compliance analysis. I would just like to know whether the registry constituency's opinion, as we have communicated to this group, was right or wrong, or maybe halfway right.
We'll take that as an action item and be prepared to respond to the next call.
Okay. Stephen Powers,
I think Chuck said exactly what I was going to say. That these, and just a slight correction of what Liz said, this is not what the council said. This is what the registry constituency said were issues that should be handled by the compliance staff. So I think it would be very valuable to get the compliance staff's reaction to that, agree, disagree, or partial, whatever. Thank
correct.
You.
Okay. Thank you. DW on the call.
Thanks, Aubrey. Just 3 points. I would say to Dave and Stacy, please be the ones to step in and answer Liz's question. Liz asked us just now whether the three groups that she identified are the only compliance-related. And we'll consider and try to answer that for Liz. But please, Dave and Stacy, take it on yourselves to review the 26th of August working group report. It won't take much time at all for you to fly through there. And then for yourselves, come back and say which of them you think were compliance-related. Since you're closer to the function, the capabilities, and resources that compliance has, I would prefer to know what you think of that 26th of August report. Have compliance-related opportunities.
Mm-hmm. We will definitely do that for you.
And when you do that 26th of August report, you talked about drop down, David, and I would advise you to drill down, because in Liz's 26th of August report, there are hyperlinks to the underlying studies that were recommended several months ago, or those of us that composed studies, and that will contain the details that might reveal whether you think compliance should or shouldn't have a role. And it's particularly true when you click on 3 or click on 20, you'll see the details that were submitted back when Aubrey had asked us each to put it in a very detailed form where we were specifying the data fields, the data gathering, and the analysis that would be done. That's what will reveal to you whether or not it's a compliance-related matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a final and third point. In the contractual compliance newsletter I most recently scanned, you guys talk about the summary of who is data accuracy study. It was number 5 in the newsletter. And as I was reading it, I became concerned that the compliance group, the way you pick samples, for instance, on that one, you picked sample size for who is data accuracy only based on the 5 largest GTLDs. And we would say that when you're looking at proxy, don't look at the population of TLDs. Look at the registrars, because it's the registrars who offer the proxy services. But I would not base your analysis off of selecting a sample size based on GTLDs, but rather the largest registrars that do offer proxy registration, because it can cross multiple GTLDs, and in fact, CCTLDs, where people decide to shield their behind a proxy. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So any final comments from anyone? We have a few minutes left before we end, and then we have to figure out quickly when our next meeting is. I'm assuming we're not going to meet during either the two holiday weeks or the week between. Is that a correct assumption? So we'll probably be talking about trying to meet next the week of the 4th through 10th. So I don't know if we're going to try and aim for the same time and space. Does this work? I mean, this is sort of an open meeting to everybody in the council, and then I guess a few council members have asked substitutes to sort of step in. But does this time work for people, and should we plan on this time on the 7th?
Okay for me.
Okay.
That would work for me. This is Steve.
Okay.
At the moment, it's fine.
Okay. So, tentatively, we've got it for the 7th of January.
And it probably would be good to get it on everybody's calendar, so an early meeting notice would be good.
Yeah, well, I'll leave that with Glenn.
I'll do that, Chuck.
Thanks.
And although I've just put it in my calendar so that it's at least there to remind me. Anything else before we close? In which case, I thank everyone for participating. I thank everyone for being so nice. I wish everyone a happy end of the year, a happy holiday of your choice, and a happy New Year's.
Thanks, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Thanks, Aubrey. Same to you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.